Okay. All right. I misspoke about who wrote that song. I also misspoke about something else other than that. I've been aiming to say something about it, and I never have remembered to do it when I'm here. But there in First or Second Thessalonians, where it talks about the great falling away, I've got dyslexia nowadays, I guess, and I say things backwards a lot of times. But that is speaking of apostasy. That's what the word means. It's not speaking of the rapture, it's speaking of apostasy. A lot of people have taught through the years that it speaks of a catching away, and that's not what the word means. If you look it up, that's not what it means. And so that ain't what I believe about that. So there you go. Fix that problem. All right, now, Romans chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 3 through 8. All right. Freed from sin. Now last week we talked about, shall we continue in sin? The answer is, God forbid. No. Now we're talking about freed from sin. What does it mean? Are we freed from sin? Well, the Bible says so. So we need to understand that. And we need to believe it. We need to believe the Word of God. All right, let's read Romans 6, verse 3 through 8. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? That's a question. Don't you know that? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Now you see what's wrong nowadays is too many people have not, that's not their experience. Their old man's not crucified with him. That the body of sin might be destroyed, because they still got their body of sin. They claim it. Yeah. But the Bible says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. If you're saved, if you're born again, the old man is crucified with God. I'm going to try to make it as clear as I can tonight. But that the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. It's amazing to me how a lot of these people, they make a big deal about being dead in sins. We were so dead in sin that we couldn't even hear. God had to repent for us, and God had to believe for us. I mean, he had to give us repentance, give us faith. He had to do everything for us because we're dead in sin. But the Bible says that we're dead to sin after we're saved. Right. Why don't we believe that? Right. Why don't we practice that? Why don't we apply that to our practical everyday life? All right. Okay. Well, we already prayed. Let's go on with this. Now I want to say a few words here about this introduction that he gave about baptism, but I want you to listen close, because this chapter is not talking about water baptism. Romans chapter 6. But baptism is a symbol of what's happened in our soul. Now, we just had a baptism here the other night, and we know that, don't we? We know that water baptism, it's a testimony to the fact that our old man is crucified with Christ. Is it because you don't bury somebody that's living. They got to be dead. Yes. You don't bury people alive. You bury them after they're dead. If it's dead, you bury it. And that's what baptism pictures. You're not ready to be baptized if that old man's not crucified with Christ. So it's a testimony. It's a living picture of what's happened. It's a testimony to our resolve to put away the past and all that I have been and walk in newness of life. Every baptism you've ever been to, the preacher almost always said that. Risen to walk with Christ. Risen to newness of life. When you come up out of the water, that's what it pictures, is a resurrection, a resurrected life. It's a testimony to the fact that I've been resurrected with Christ and am a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. Being buried doesn't mean we sprinkle dirt over a dead body. But that we put it way down under the ground, deep enough that nothing is going to dig it up again. That's what you do when you bury something dead, don't you? You don't just put it where something's going to come along, see part of it sticking out, or dig it up again. You put it deep. You bury it deep. Because you don't want it coming up again. We even put stuff over the caskets and everything because they float out of the grave, if you know. So anyway, baptism should be by immersion and not by sprinkling. That's simple. I mean, anybody really does any kind of thinking, knows what the Bible teaches about it, knows what the word means, knows that it means immersed. Baptism means immersed. It doesn't mean sprinkled. No, the word doesn't even mean that. All right, now the baptism spoken of here is not baptism by water, but baptism into Jesus Christ. You see, that's what it says. We were baptized into Jesus Christ. Well, the water baptism doesn't put us into Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God puts us into Jesus Christ. We're baptized by the Spirit of God. Well, what is baptism? What did I just say? What does it mean? Immersed. Immersed. Baptism means being immersed in Jesus Christ. That speaks to me about a whole bunch of things. Total commitment. Total surrender. Total yielding. He is all in all. He becomes Lord of lords and King of kings in your life. He becomes the Lord of your life. Being immersed. He takes over. He's not add on. He's not in the sidecar. He's in the driver's seat. He's not the co-pilot. He's the pilot. Being baptized into Christ, he's the Lord. There's no such thing as this stuff of accepting him as your Savior and all that. Well, wait a minute. I'll get to that in a minute here. The old man is crucified with him, buried with him, and resurrected. And we are resurrected with him. You see? It's all there. We just read it in those verses if you were listening. We do not invite Jesus to come into our heart. That's not what salvation is. That's man's invention, a little cliche, to make it easier to get people to sign up. That's what that is. It's a way to oversimplify something and miss the point completely. We don't invite Jesus into our heart. The Bible never, never, never speaks of it in those terms. Neither do we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. I know that's what everybody says. I know that's the main line that's thrown out there to fish now, but that's not what it is. You're baptized into Jesus Christ. You surrender to Him. You don't add him on to your life. You don't invite him. You surrender to him. It's a big difference there, man. Big difference in the whole concept of it all. That's why they don't reverence him now. That's why they don't stand in awe of him. That's why they don't worship him now. And buddy, his people ought to worship him. In this wicked world that despises and hates him, he ought to get some honor from his people. And they ought to praise him and lift him up and give him the honor that's due unto him. He's been given a name which is above every name, that every knee, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess. Yes, this picture of salvation leaves the old man dead and buried, and shows us a new man living and walking on this earth with Christ. Now, you see what I'm getting at here. Now, we'll get on with this in just a second. But this is what he started out and introduced as being baptized into Jesus Christ. This is what it means. This idea, this teaching of the Bible here, leaves us with this picture in our mind. Old man, dead. Old man, dead with Christ. Crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See? The old man's crucified with Christ. The old man is buried with Christ. Christ was crucified. He died. He was buried, right? Isn't that the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the hub. That's the outline. That's the thing. That's the gospel. We, the old man, is crucified with Christ. The old man is buried with Christ. The new man is risen with Christ. And there you go. That's the picture we see. We don't see a dichotomy. That's two people living in the same body. The old man, the new man. We don't see two natures battling it out in one body. That's not in your Bible. This is the picture of salvation. You're dead. The old man is dead. The old man is buried, never to be dug up again. You're risen anew. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I like that gospel much better than that other one I heard about for so many years. I like knowing that I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm delivered from the power of sin. I like that. I don't like that stuff of being told I'm still a slave and that Jesus didn't really do nothing for me and that all I've got to hope for is in the sweet by and by. But as long as I'm here, I'm just going to be a nothing more than a sinner. Don't tell me that. I've read too much of the Bible and I can't believe that anymore. I can't. All right. Now, the cliches that I just mentioned there that are the modern way of presenting the plan of salvation leave the old man alive and well and still in control of the life, doesn't it? They blatantly say that. They blatantly profess that. And they aggressively teach it and call anybody who disagrees with them a heretic. It's a different salvation. They're preaching a different Jesus, really. Jesus is just an add-on for emergencies and a free get out of hell free card. That's what he is. He's just your spare tire. He's an option for your life. Yeah. He's somebody you can call on if you're in trouble. He's somebody you can look to if you just want to and feel like it. Make you feel good. Help you in trouble. And that, you know. Make you a member of some fellowship somewhere where you can have friends and activities and enjoy the company of better people and what occupy the taverns and stuff. Yeah, that's about what it is, see. But he's much more than that. And the Bible teaches much more than that. All right, he that is dead is freed from sin. All right? Now, that's what we read there. The great hope of many people is that when they die, they'll finally be free from sin. Ain't it sad to you that so many sit in Baptist churches and that's the only hope they've got, really? Somehow they think that they're still a servant of sin here, even though they sit in a church pew. Maybe they preach behind a pulpit. Maybe they're a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or just a faithful member of a church, but they're still enslaved by their sin and can't get out. And their hope they're clinging to is that when they draw their last breath, they'll be free, finally free. Oh, no. It's not your body that's holding you in your sin. It's your soul. It's your unredeemed, unregenerate soul that's keeping you in that bondage. You've not been baptized into Jesus Christ if you're still under the bondage and under the reign of sin in your mortal body. You've not been born again. That's just all there is to it. Bible's too plain about it. They're taught this continually, and so they consider themselves under the power of sin as long as they're living in this body. We got this old flesh. You've heard it and heard it. I've heard it and heard it, and it just makes me sick in my stomach. It makes me angry every time I hear it because it is not true. And I look around me at the people listening to it and say, amen, amen, that's right. And I want to jump up and say, no, no! The Bible has better news for you than that. They'll sing victory in Jesus and then testify like that and say amen to somebody who preaches like that. Ain't that absurd? What kind of victory is there in Jesus? if he didn't do a thing for you? He came to deliver us from our sin. He came to take away our sin. He came to set the captives free, but we're still captive. We're still bound. We're still under the reign of sin, and we can't get loose till we get rid of this old flesh. Terrible, terrible. But you know, to think like that is contradictory to the very essence of the gospel message. Saved. I'm saved. Saved from what? Well, the modern concept, and this is what everybody has got in their mind, they're saved from hell. That's it. Not saved from sin. But you're going to end up in hell because of your sin. See, the reason anybody goes to hell is because of their sin. And don't let nobody tell you it's because of your unbelief. It's because of your sin. The wages of sin is death, not the wages of unbelief is death. The only hope we've got. We were all condemned. Jesus said in John chapter 3, he didn't come to condemn the world, but because the world was condemned already. Why were they condemned? Because of their sin. Yeah, that's right. Ain't no sin will send you to hell except the sin of unbelief. That is a lie. You're going to hell. Your only hope is to believe. You're going to hell because of your sin. Your sinful heart. Your defiance of God's law. That's why you're going to hell. And the only hope for anybody is to come to Jesus, the Savior, and surrender to Him and fall upon Him and find mercy. See, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Romans 6, verse 8. It's what we read when we started out here. I mean, we read that verse. If we be dead with Christ, are you dead with Christ? Did that old man die? Did you give it up? Was there ever a point in your life where you said, this is over? We read, I think it's Oswald Chambers, isn't he the one who talks about a white funeral? Did you ever have a white funeral? When you put the old man in the ground and said, that's it. I'm done with this. This life is over. If you ain't never had one, he said, and I agree with him, you ain't never been born again. There's got to be a place and a time where you said, this is it. I remember. Yes. And I remember that's when the joy and the peace came and the rest. Long as I tried to hang on to that old man, this wouldn't work. This wouldn't work. And it don't work for anybody. If it wouldn't work for me, it ain't going to work for nobody else either. You ain't fooling me. You know, people that say, and they disagree, and they say we're a sinner, and we can't help it, and we can't stop it, and we got this nature, and you just, you know, you're a heretic. You ain't a fooling me. People like that, they get angry, they get offended, they have a miserable life because they have got no peace. And they know they're wrong, and they know they ain't got what's there to be had. If we've been saved, we're dead with Christ. And if we're dead with Him, then we're freed from sin. Because it says that we're freed from sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. It's not talking about dead in your body. This is the context. You're dead with Christ, buried with Him, crucified with Christ, buried with Christ. If you're dead, you're freed from sin. If you're not dead, you're not freed from sin. Ain't no wonder all these people are under the bondage of sin. They ain't dead. They're still alive. Got it backwards, see? They cling to that we were dead in sins and trespasses in Ephesians. And then, but they don't understand that you have to die before you can be resurrected. There has to be a death and a burial before there can be a resurrection. A death and a burial. You got to bury that thing. That old stinking, rotten, dead carcass. You got to bury it. The whole body of sin of your life. Well, maybe we can explain it a little better here, but if we're dead with Him, then we're freed from sin and its dominion now, not just in eternity by and by, right now in this present evil world. The old man who was a slave to sin is dead now, and a new tenant lives in this earthly tabernacle. It's going to be dissolved, you know. New tenant lives there. Somebody else moved in. The Spirit of God moved in. Jesus moved in. It's Christ that liveth in me. He lives. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. That's different. Now that's different than it used to be. Them guys down there sang a song and it was like, it was something about he changed this tavern into a temple. Yeah, that's kind of speaks the truth, don't it? It was a bad place before. Inhabited by devils. Inhabited by filth. But it's changed now. The reign of sin has ended for this soul because he's been delivered. He's been forgiven. He's been bought with a price. He's been redeemed, adopted into God's family, and made a joint heir with Christ. Don't tell me everything's the same. Don't tell me you can't tell the difference. Don't tell me there's no difference in a saved man and a lost man. Don't tell me we're all sinners and can't help it and can't stop it. It's not what the Bible teaches. You're in big trouble with God if you believe such nonsense as that. Romans chapter 6, verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now that's a statement of fact. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Paul's telling these people, this is how it happened. You remember? This is the way it works. So don't sound to me like a sinner. Don't sound to me like somebody's still under the reign and dominion of sin. Does it to you? Being made free from sin. That's what we're talking about tonight. Being free from sin. Freed from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. All right, what does it mean? What does it mean to be freed from sin? Listen to me, and I'm going to try to do my best to explain what it means. This is the most important matter to consider and understand properly because people go off in a ditch on both sides of it. You know, the ones I'm describing, they say it's not really real. You're not really delivered from sin. Now, let me tell you something. You're not delivered from being tempted, but you are delivered from the power of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. And that ain't speaking about heaven and by and by. That's speaking of right here and now. The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil world. Now, the grace of God teaches you, if it does anything, if the grace of God has any agency in this world, and it does, it teaches you to live right. And to live righteously and godly and soberly right here now in the midst of this Sodom and Gomorrah world that we live in. Where it be as lights that shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That's what the Bible says. We're not darkness. We got to realize that sin is the disposition of the heart. And not the outward manifestations of that disposition. Those are sins. Now see, some people say, well, you're a sinless perfectionist. You don't believe people can sin. Well, did I say that? No, I said we're delivered from the power of sin. I've got the whole Bible to back me up, too. If that's what this whole book is about. That God sent His Son into this world to save us from our sin. And if that ain't what it's about, then it's a fairy tale. That's what it's all about. Sin, man has turned against God in rebellion. And man defies God. And Jesus came to set that straight. To win us back. To break down the wall of partition between us. To reconcile us to Himself. To take away the enmity between us and God. And that cannot be done unless our sin is dealt with and conquered. We have to come to the place where we live a different life. It's not about abstaining from all of the certain ones. You know, we've just got a few sins that we think are the deal. And if you'll just quit doing them and start doing this, then you're a good Christian. And that's one of the most deceiving things about everything. That ain't what it's about at all. Sin is the disposition of the heart. And that's where the problem lies. My sin is basically my claim to my right to myself. It's me staking out my little piece of earth here and saying, this is me, it's mine, it's my body, it's my life, it's my choice. Ain't that the cry of the world? That's what the abortionists say. It's what the sodomites say. It's what every wicked devil on the face of this earth says. It's my choice. It's my right. That's the very essence of it right there. Sin. That's what Jesus conquers. When you're baptized into Jesus Christ, that goes away. I don't matter anymore. God is what matters. The glory of God, the honor of God, that Jesus gets the honor he deserves. That's all that matters. Doesn't matter what you do to me. You can tie me to a post and set me on fire and burn me up. It don't matter. You can cuss me. You can hate me. You can spit on me. You can starve me to death. But that's, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't care once I've been saved about what happens to me. Really. There's things that preempt it all. Things that are greater and higher and more noble and that matter more than me. But as long as my sin is not conquered, I am all that matters. And the bottom line is, I'm going to get what I need, what I want. I'm going to have my way. I've got my opinion. You're not going to change it. I'm the one that makes the choices around here, and I'm the one that makes the calls about this. Oh boy, you're a sinner. As long as you got an attitude like that, you're an unregenerate sinner. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're a deacon. I don't care how long you sit in a church pew. Sin is oozing out of you all over. It don't matter if you don't smoke, and it don't matter if you don't chew, and it don't matter if you don't do anything else like that. The Pharisees were as clean as a whistle on the outside of the platter. But in the inside, they were full of dead men's bones and stunk. What Jesus said about them. To make my own choices and decisions according to my own opinions and feelings with an eye toward my own pleasure and selfish interests first. That's the essence of sin. My sin. My sin. Freed from that. To be freed from sin is to be freed from that. Y'all hear me? Yes, sir. That's it right there. That's it right there. When you get to the point where you don't matter anymore, that God matters, that others matter more, then you're going to quit doing things that hurt other people. And you're going to quit. You're going to be, well, let me just go on here. In other words, to do as I please without having no, to answer to anyone. Now that's what sin. That's the root of it right there. My sins are the things I do to exercise and demonstrate my right to myself. Y'all listening to me? Now that's my sins. My sin is the fact that I maintain my right to myself. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the law says. I don't care. And defy God to His face. That's sin. But my sins are the manifestations of that. The things I do to demonstrate that that's what I believe. And that's what I am. And that's what I feel. And that's what I'm going to do. The selfishness. Let me back up here. I want to say. Any sin you want to name will fit under that description right there. Any sin you want to do. Why do people do any of that stuff? Commit adultery. Steal. Any of the rest of it. Lie. They do it because that's what they want to do. That's what they feel is best for them. They got a right to. The life of every sinner operates in that realm of my rights. And justifying self for every desire and every selfish choice he makes. You know, I mean, where do surely you can see that. A woman will abort a baby. I mean, she'll go to a doctor and let him chop that baby up inside of her belly and pull it out piece by piece and throw it in the trash can. Because she has a right to it's her body, she says. Well, it ain't her body. No. It's not her body that's being cut up. If she's got a, you know, she's got a right to keep her body from whoredom. And that would have solved the problem right there. But you see the problem? She wants the right to do that because she wants to. She wants the right to get rid of the consequences of it because it inconveniences her. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. Selfishness. Right? It's insanity to do that. But sinners back one another in the pursuit of selfishness to their own hurt. You see, that's insane. Selfishness. If me and you are both selfish, we're going to hurt each other. That's why marriages don't last. That's why all the homes are broken up. That's why all these kids are without any parents and the world's in such a mess as it is. You got a guy that is just living for his lust, and you got a woman who's just living for her lust, and he's using her, and she uses him, and then they can't get along, and they bust up and find somebody else to use for their own pleasure. It's all a selfish thing. It's not a given thing. They call it love. It's not love at all. It's lust. And selfish people back one another in all of this, but the house falls down on them, you see. It won't work that way. Morality is mutual respect, mutual love and regard, charity. That's morality. See, that's what morals are based on. That's how you figure out what's morally right and wrong. You can't do something that's going to hurt somebody. It's morally wrong for you to get out here and drink and then get in your car and get on the highway. Because you ain't got no right to kill me or maim me or my family or my children out on the highway or anybody else because of your ignorance and selfish stupidity. And it's wrong. And that's why they still put them in jail for that. They ought to. It ought to be worse than that. You get out on the highway and kill somebody, they ought to hang you from the highest tree immediately. You're a murderer. Morality. Same thing for everything else. That's why the road rage. Nobody's courteous. Nobody's polite. Nobody has any manners because they don't have any consideration for anybody else because they're living in their own little, the world's mind. The universe revolves around me. I get what I want. I've got a right. Who cares about your rights? You ain't got no rights. I got all the rights. It's my road. It's my aisle in Walmart. I'm first in line. You know. You see what sin is? You know what it is to be freed from sin? When you don't live like that anymore. You don't think like that anymore. You don't feel like that anymore. You look for good. You try to do good. You try to be good to people. You try to, you know, it's a different life. That's righteousness. You were servants of sin. But you became right servants of righteousness. Big difference. Two different things altogether. Two different ways of living. So don't tell me that we're all the same. And don't tell me that Jesus saved somebody and they're just a sinner. No more than a sinner. Don't tell me that. They are. There's a big difference. The selfishness of one will hurt and subtract from another, but they'll cling tightly to their philosophy of selfishness. And that's what we've got. We've got our government. We've got our judges. We've got the whole world fighting for the right, for everybody to have the right to themselves. Look what we got. Chaos. Lawlessness. Madness. Everywhere. Cruelty. Violence. Everywhere. That's what's causing this, folks. And one of the main reasons for it is because the churches are not preaching salvation anymore. They're preaching their sin and religion. There's nowhere anybody can go to hear anything different than what they're preaching. And all it does is just like throwing gasoline on the fire of this sinful world. This is the road to destruction of any society or country when the definition of freedom comes to mean the right of everyone to uncontrolled, immediate indulgence of every lust. Now, that's where we're at right now. Everybody's got a right. You got a right to go in any bathroom, don't matter what your gender is. You got a right to be with anybody, marry anybody, don't matter what. Everybody's got a right to do anything they want, anytime they want, anywhere they want, in front of whoever they want. And they say that's freedom? No, that's bondage. Indulging in your lust is bondage, not freedom. Freedom from sin means freedom from this. Freedom from this. Freedom from sin brings peace and quietness and assurance forever. Righteousness. All right. To be freed from sin is to be freed from this prison of putting selfish interest and lust first. And this is also the beginning of the true freedom for any people who will embrace it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. When life becomes about others rather than everybody for himself, there's always great improvement in the quality of life among that people. Oh, don't you know that's right? Don't you know that's right? So wonderful when people are considerate of one another. Yes, and to be around people that are givers instead of takers. People that are conscious of others instead of just looking for themselves and digging for themselves. My right to myself is nothing more than being a slave to my lusts. See? I must have it, and I must have it now. That's what lust says. That's what lust is. I'm going to have it, and I'm going to have it right now. Right now. I want it now. I ain't going to wait till I get married. I ain't going to wait until Christmas. We got to have it now. I want it now. To be enslaved by lust is to be compelled to answer its call and meet its demands. If you're addicted to drugs, you're a slave to drugs. If you're addicted to cigarettes or anything else, you're a slave to it. If you're addicted to booze, you're a slave to it. So it made me finally find the strength to quit smoking many, many, many years ago. I realized that thing called and I'd answer. I had to answer. And I thought, no, I'm not a slave. I'm not going to be enslaved like this. When I took that attitude toward it, I was free. Yeah. You're a slave. You're enslaved. To be freed from sin means you're not enslaved by it anymore. It doesn't call and you answer. It doesn't tempt you and you just walk right in anymore. What does it mean to resist the devil and he'll flee from you? I mean, the modern religion says ain't no use. You can't resist the devil. Well, the Bible says to. Yes, sir. Rebuke him. Yes. That's all you got to do. You say no. When you're tempted, you're not going to be tempted above that which you're able to bear. But God, with the temptation, will always provide a way of escape. So there's a way of escape. There is a way of escape if you just look for it. You can say no. You don't have to sin. You can be tempted and say no. And by the way, in heaven, that's who's going to be there, the ones who overcome. That's it. Look it up. You ain't going to find nobody there any other way. To them that overcome, they'll have right to eat of the tree of life. There you go. Who's going to live forever? Who's going to ascend to the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. And then it goes on and names a bunch of other stuff. Who's going to be there? The ones that were freed from sin here and now. Ones that wait till they die thinking they're going to be freed from them is going to wake up and find themselves in hell. That's what's going to happen to them. We're dead with Christ, and therefore we're freed from sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now the Bible says it, so I ain't ashamed of it. And I ain't afraid to say it. And I ain't afraid to tell people about it. And I ain't afraid to stand on the truth. This is also the beginning of true freedom for any people like that. Am I right to myself? To live in such a way is what constitutes my sin. When I'm enslaved by it and I answer its call and all that. This is the basic thing I'll be condemned for when I stand before God. If something isn't done to remedy that situation before then. If I just yield to sin and its call beckons me and I yield. That's what I'm going to be condemned for. I'm a sinner. I'm still under the dominion of sin. I'm still under its control. It can command me and I obey. Now, if something ain't done about that, I'm not going to end up with Christ in heaven or the Redeemer. It's not going to happen. That's right. This is the basic thing I'll be condemned for. Now, all the sins I commit have their beginning in that fact right there, that I just yield to the lust. Sin is so deceitful and the human heart is so gullible that we're led to believe that slavery to lust is actually freedom to make my own choices and decisions. Now, you see what I'm saying to y'all? I hope you're listening and got that. Human heart's so deceitful and easily deceived. And people are so gullible that you believe that it's freedom to do as you please. And just to please your lust. And that's bondage, man. You're enslaved by your lust. You're not free, you're enslaved. You can't say no. You can't deny yourself. Freed from sin means you're freed from that. You have power over yourself. All right. To believe this and to practice what I've just said there, to slavery, to our lust and everything, if you believe that and practice it, it leads to self-destruction every time. And to be freed from sin is to be freed from the slavery of lust, which we consider freedom to do as we please. We're enabled to say no to lust and its demands. We're able to make choices and decisions based on higher and more noble priorities than pleasing or gratifying ourselves. That's what happens to a child of God. When he's born into God's family, he starts making his decisions and choices based on higher principles than lust and desires and selfishness. Yes. God's honor is at stake with my life, with my words, with my interactions with other people, with the things I do, with the way I dress, with the way I carry myself and talk to people and treat other people. God's honor is at stake. So that's what matters. That has control of me instead of my lust for a cigarette, a bottle of booze, or some immorality. Greater things. You lifted up, not brought down. God don't lower you. He raises you up. We look up to our Father in heaven, not down at the slime where they think we came from. It makes a big difference where you're looking. Yes, sir. And where you're going. We're enabled to say no. The Word of God and the Spirit become our guides for our lives in the place of our own lusts and interests and opinions. The honor of God and the well-being of others becomes the major factor in our choices and in all the things we do. So simple. And it's so true. You care about other people instead of just caring about yourself. That's what freedom from sin is. That's how it manifests itself. How do you know if you're free? How do you know if you're dead to sin? Dead with Christ? How do you know? Well, you care about others. The old timers had it right. I mention it often, but it makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Don't make you hate everybody. Makes you love everybody. Makes you care about other people. That's why Christians are the ones who started hospitals, orphanages, still do. The ones that do all of that is people who care. That's why missionaries go to foreign lands and give their life to get the gospel to the lost heathen in the darkness. They go and put orphanages like Ben and Sarah's doing over there, you know, and things like that. Why do people do that? Because they care more for other people than for themselves. Why are they willing to lay down their lives? Well, because they've been born again, they've been freed from sin. That's why. They ain't living to buy stuff and make money and gain in the world and pile up possessions. They've realized that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the possessions, the things that he possesses. Life's about more. When you're baptized into Jesus Christ, you look at the world differently. And you care. You care. So you're going to be careful about what you do so that you don't hurt somebody else, so that you don't cost somebody else, so that you don't take away from somebody else. You want to help people. You don't want to hurt them. That's righteousness. Simple as you can put it, that I know how. And we're servants of righteousness. We became the servants of righteousness. We stop living for ourselves and start living for God and others. Now that's true freedom from sin. Sin is myself. I'm what matters. I get what I want. I got to do what I want. I got to have what I need and want. That's the essence of sin. The essence of righteousness is God first, others second, me last. Yeah. Well, let me hurry up here. This is the result when sin no longer has dominion over us. When sin doesn't have dominion over us, you'll find a person who is looking to be a blessing and a help to others. Now, when sin has dominion over you, you're going to see a selfish person who's going to be a gossip and a backbiter and a hateful person who will take and take and take and don't care about hurting people. We'll do it on purpose. Do it for recreation and entertainment. That's a sinner. A saint, don't do that. A child of God, somebody's been freed from sin. They've been crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, and risen with Christ. They're not going to do that. Not going to be that way. It's a different life, different personality, different way of everything. It doesn't remove the possibility of our doing anything wrong or selfishly, but it changes the whole purpose of our existence and the whole focus of our life. When we're freed from sin, we have a different focus for our life. We think differently. We look at the world differently. We look at people differently. That's the result when sin no longer has dominion over us. No matter how people may argue against it and try to escape it, in order to be born again and enter heaven and be in the presence of God, sin must be dealt with and annihilated in a soul. And the atonement that Christ provided is sufficient to do that. You hear me? Now, you can't enter heaven with your sin. You can't enter heaven as a sinner. You got preachers right now, Baptist preachers, blatantly saying that heaven's going to be full of sinners. They pass around these stupid poems. I hope you don't do that. But they got to heaven, and boy, it was surprising who was there. The good people weren't there, and the bad people were. The drunks, the adulterers, the thieves, and all that. There they were. But old brother so-and-so, he wasn't there. You know, they delight in that. That's the devil, buddy. That's sinners talking. That ain't a child of God who glorifies sin and sinners and speaks evil of dignities and despises them which are good. That ain't God's people. That's the devil's people. You better recognize. My goodness, can't you hear the voice and know who it is? That ain't the way it's going to be. I want you to know Now, that ain't the way it's going to be. One's going to be in heaven are going to be the ones who were righteous here. Now, God makes you righteous. Yeah. He delivers you from the power of sin. You're freed from sin here. And it's obvious and it's evident in your life. There's no doubt. There's no room for it. You become a different person. You quit that selfish, hateful, self-worshipping life. And it's obvious. And people notice. And you're a different creature. All of history. All of history. All the Word of God testifies that I'm telling you the truth right here. Only this easy believism, phony, fake, modern gospel tells you anything different. No matter how people may argue against it, your sin has to be dealt with here. And sin has to be annihilated in your soul. And just like I said, that I'm not saying a Christian cannot sin, but he cannot continue in sin. We talked about that last week. It doesn't mean that you can't commit some selfish thing, but you're not going to live like that. You cannot live like that. You will not live like that. God will deal with you about it so that you can't. Well, he's able to make you stand. The thing that will send anyone to hell is to cling to their right to themselves and refuse to surrender their life to God. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Is the perpetual attitude of a person who's surrendered to God. A person who's freed from sin is going to be saying, Lord, what will you have me to do? Lord, what now? You're going to be looking to God. You're going to be led by the Spirit. Yes. If any have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, in any situation, no matter the cost to myself, no matter what others may think or say, that'll be my attitude. To postpone this surrender means you're reserving for yourself the right to do as you please without being accountable to God. Yeah. To postpone it. Say, well, I want to get saved, not today, not tonight. Well, you're just saying, what you're doing is you're still clinging to self. You're still saying, I got to make a way for me to do what I want to do now. I can't, you know, I still got to have my choice in it. I got to have my say in it. Somehow, this deceitful human heart believes it can continue in sin without any condemnation as long as there's no commitment made to God. Oh, how foolish. But this is such foolishness because every man will give account of himself to God, saved or lost. So we will answer to God for what we do, whether we surrender to him now or not. You will answer to God. So in light of all this, the best advice for anyone is to just give up your right to yourself and surrender your life to God now. That's the best advice anybody can give you. That's the best advice you'll ever get in your life about anything in your life. You better just give it up. You better quit fighting to defend your little piece of ground and just surrender. Yes, sir. It belongs to God. He made it. That's right. It's not your body. It's His body. Even if you're lost, it's His body. It belongs to Him. It's not yours. You got no right to mark it up, cut it up, punch it full of holes. You got no right to abuse it and dishonor it and demean it and degrade it. And to abuse it. You got no right. You're using stolen merchandise. Stolen property is what your body is if you're using it for yourself. God made it. It's His. And He's got the title to it. If you fool around and lose your soul, it's God who loses. You get what you deserve. Defying God for a lifetime. With Him reaching out to you in mercy, pleading with you to come to Him. He died for you, shed His blood to save you, and you defy Him. That's why people go to hell. Don't do it. Don't do it. Let me read this verse and I'm done. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself Now, you see what I've been preaching to you? What is the essence of sin? It's my selfish interest, my right to myself. If any man will come after me, Jesus said, what do you got to do? Number one step, deny yourself. Say, I don't matter. What I want, nah, just bear it. Paul said he counted all of his life dung that he might attain Christ. Yeah. Didn't matter what he planned, dreamed, thought about, wanted. Didn't matter anymore. All that mattered was what God wanted him to do and that God would use him. Deny himself and take up his cross. What is that cross about? Crucifixion. Isn't that what a cross is for? Your cross. Crucified with Christ. See, it all makes sense. It all fits together. And follow me, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. See, crucified with Christ. Bury that thing. Yes, sir. You lose your life, you find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 26. It ain't worth it. There ain't nothing in this world worth it. You could pile everything that's of value in this world up in a pile. It wouldn't even begin to be worth the value of a soul. Junk it all. I mean, junk this world. Your own selfish interests, your opinions, your ideas, your desires, your dreams. Throw it all in the river and follow Christ. You lose your life, you'll find it. You'll find freedom from sin when you do that. Yes, sir. That's what faith in the Lord Jesus Christ really means. It's not, well, I believe there's a man named Jesus and he says, Son of God. So, okay. If you say that's the way it is, I believe it. That ain't salvation. That ain't faith. No. Faith in Christ. Repentance from sin and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It's forsaking all and following him. Just like the disciples did. Just like everybody you see in the Bible did. If any man come after me, what you got to do? Deny yourself. Deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. You following him? Are you free from sin? You're following Christ. If you're not, you're not free from sin. If you've not buried that old person that you became after you were born and grew up in this world and you lived in and took part and learned all of their filth and participated in it and made it part of you and your opinions and your lust and your addictions and all of that, if you ain't junked all that and put it in the ground, then you're not free from sin. That's all there is to it. Freedom from sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. Death ain't so bad when you know there's a resurrection. See, that's the key thing right there. It ain't just I'm preaching to you death. You got to give it all up. You just got to live and like you're a monk in a monastery. No. Being resurrected. Jesus came, he said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You ain't lived until you've been resurrected with Christ. Amen. Let's stand. I'll quit. Amen.